The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
You may recall that the Coast Guard rescue contract was put out to tender, and as a result of a competitive process, the contract was won by Bristow Ireland Limited to the exclusion of the exiting provider. It was not without controversy, so where are we now? Well, I'm joined by Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what are they going to supply?
Well, now it's different in that we have now six helicopters, AW189s. They're a little bit smaller than the ones they replaced, the S-92. And we also have, for the first time, two fixed-wing aircraft, King Air 200s, which will be flown from Shannon, and they'll support the search and rescue and various other jobs.
So their job is really searching, because they can't land in the water and pick anyone up.
No, but they can also provide what the Air Corps couldn't do on some missions in recent years, and that's top cover, you know, by day or by night. So the aircraft flies ahead, it locates the vessel in difficulty and relays back, and can then give radar vectors and so forth to the helicopter flying low level over the sea.
Now, I remember seeing a Primetime Investigates programme into the awarding of this contract, and whether or not the new equipment supplied by Bristow was going to be sufficient for the job. And it turned out that the new choppers, although more sophisticated in terms of avionics and so on,
yes,
are less good in some ways.
In some ways, there was complaint about the fact that the S-92 lets you stand up, that it'll take 19 passengers as opposed to 16 in the newer airframe. And the fact that they said the stretchers couldn't be fixed to the floor of the aircraft. And I think I know
that
why
that is. That seems fairly basic.
It does. And the point I made then, I'll make now, is the Air Corps has been using stretchers on their AW139, a similar but smaller helicopter than the new one here, and they bolt them to the floor because it can be done. It's not the size of it. It's the fact that at the base of the helicopter is waterproofed. They are covered, in fact, in a rubber sort of solution to stop seawater from the people being rescued getting into the airframe and causing rust and that kind of thing. So you'd have to come across with something and put a bolt system in that you can take the stretcher in and out. And I'm sure that can be done. It's not beyond the bounds of man to do that.
Okay, but looking at that program, I was kind of shocked that at another aspect, which was that it couldn't linger at the site of a rescue for as long as the old outgoing aircraft.
Yeah, the range is shorter, and its loiter time, as it's called, is not the half an hour that they had with the S-92. But that's at the extreme range, I think, closer to shore. And by the way, there are very few long-range rescues now in recent times. People are very aware of safety at sea, including trawler men and people who are, using it for recreational purposes. So
yeah, but needs must. I understand, it will happen from time to time.
But the specification written was met by this helicopter. There are the statements made by both the manufacturer and by the Irish Coast Guard itself.
Now, there is a second component to the rescue provision you mentioned there, the fixed wing. What about those aircraft? What can they do? I mean, how sophisticated are they?
They're not terribly sophisticated. The Air Corps had three of them in service. In fact, I flew all three, even though I wasn't a pilot, from the right-hand seat. They're an aircraft I love, the Beechcraft King Air 200. Super King Air is the title. There was a complaint in some website or other saying that one of them has just been repainted and is 20 years old. I'm not sure about the second one, but that doesn't really matter because aircraft can be rebuilt. And they need certificates of airworthiness, and they're kept at that standard. They will have search capability. They're able to do, long range. They'd fly, certainly in the Air Corps case, they flew 500-600 miles off the coastline, and we were in them low level. It's by day and by night, so it gives them an independence that means they don't have to rely on the Air Corps, which has its own maritime patrol aircraft from Baldonnel.
Okay, but if it's 20 years old, the avionics would be well out of date, wouldn't they?
Yeah, no, they've updated them. There's nothing wrong with the avionics. I mean, they're used to fly passengers across Europe and back. They're still making a new version of that aircraft, indeed. Spare parts, not a problem. But it's not designed, it has its own search capacity. It's got a FLIR, a forward-looking infrared camera, and that kind of thing. It'd be ideal for trying to find a vessel in distress at sea and then relaying the coordinates back to the search and rescue helicopter, which will follow out at low level and at slower speed.
Okay, in terms of what each of the helicopters can handle, I mean, you've done a comparison, a direct comparison. In terms of, what kind of weathers they can handle, are they both similar?
They are indeed. The people said the bigger S-92 was better in high wave conditions over the sea, but the AW189 is not that much different. It's lighter. It's a lighter and more fuel-efficient aircraft from that point of view. But it's got more modern technology, as you mentioned, and it's very fuel-efficient, so its range is very good. And I can't see why the capacity is a problem, because very few, if any, rescues have taken 19 people off a vessel. You know, the number on average is about 4 or 5, believe it or not. It's
well, you've done the comparison. The S-92, the old one,
yep.
Larger airframe, 19 passengers or 4 stretchers plus crew.
Yes.
And you can stand up, as you mentioned, 1.83 metres in height. You might have to bend down a little bit, Kevin, I suspect.
Yes,
you're tall. The AW189... Not 4 stretchers, but 2 stretchers.
Indeed, yes, crew. Yeah. But indeed, the stretchers are really only used, you don't rescue people on stretchers much. It's a rare thing to do, unless it's at a mountainside or that kind of thing, you know. And in that case, it's usually one individual from that point of view. So 2 would be patients being flown from perhaps a hospital to another hospital or from a crash scene to a hospital, that kind of thing. They'd be stabilised in that regard.
In terms of getting to the site, the speed?
Not much different, only about 5 knots. They both cruise at about 150 knots. The S-92 used 155 knots, you know, but it doesn't make a whole lot of difference in a long range distance, a few minutes in that regard. They're both fairly fast, nimble helicopters.
And then in terms of their range?
The S-92 has the edge at 539.
That's the old one.
The new one is about 400. You can fit extra tanks on board, but if you do that, of course, you lose space and you lose weight, so they tend not to fit them in that regard.
Now, in terms of their mission equipment, as we might call it, what do they both have and what do they not have?
Well, they're both fitted really for search and rescue. They've got hoist systems, they've got forward-looking infrared, they'd have the weather radar so they can, you know, see what the conditions will be ahead, and both carry medical facilities so they can stabilise patients. And the crew members are usually qualified EMTs, emergency medical technicians, I think, so they can stabilise you if, for example, you've had an accident on a mountaintop or you fall into the water or whatever it might be. So from that point of view, there's not a whole lot of difference between them, because, of course, the specification written was based on, you know, 15, 20 years of search and rescue, because, the trends come out and people can do reports on them and say, what actually do we need in that regard? And they write it up and they're happy. The Coast Guard, I'm told, is happy with the AW189 and the crews who are going to man them.
In terms of maintenance and that kind of thing, and how many people you need on the ground to keep these things rolling?
Well, the new contract, I think, has as many as 150 people. There are 4 bases. Dublin has moved from the airport in Dublin to Weston, not too far from where I live. You've got Shannon, which I saw, that one is in business as well. And they're going to move then, the Sligo and Waterford airports will be manned. So the coast will be well covered by helicopters and fixed-wing operations, probably by the early part of 2026 next year.
Yeah, and do we know, is the transition kind of underway?
It is underway, yes.
Sikorsky's in the air,
yeah,
and also the AW189s, they're in the air as well, are they?
They are, 2 of them are for sure, and as I said, they've got a pool of 6. So they'll be handing over the last 2 bases later this year, that's Waterford and Sligo. There was some complaints saying it hasn't happened as fast as it might, but the chief of the Coast Guard on the television programme said, look, these things take time and I understand why, you know.
Do we have an idea of how many missions they fly every year?
We do, because statistics are published. Just to go backwards to last year, the Coast Guard helicopters conducted 752 missions, which is more than I thought it might be. And they conducted 134 air ambulance flights in support of the offshore island communities. And indeed, I saw one about 14 days ago on Inishere. The 189, to my delight, to be honest, came in and landed in front of us. And a person was wheeled on a wheelchair out and taken on board. And I presume they went into the Galway University Hospital, not too far away.
I mean, if you look at the base numbers, there are a couple every day.
Yes, indeed. And there was obviously a need for it. These things take place. Like the one I saw didn't make any news headlines because it was so routine. But it is good for people who are on the islands by day and by night, by summer and by winter times. They can rely on this kind of thing. And indeed, in Weston, they're putting in runway lights so that the operation can go there 24/7. Mm. So it's ready to go.
I presume, though, that they do routine flying as well, just to keep their hours up and all the rest
indeed.
Of it.
Indeed. And when the helicopter first arrived in Weston, it was seen in the air quite a lot doing training flights and that kind of thing. And I presume they went up into the mountains and that, you know, jobs that will be required by day and by night, and especially in the wintertime. People do get lost in the Wicklow Hills. They do fall off cliffs.
Sure, and I've seen, obviously, a rescue in Dalkey Quarry,
yes,
for example, where the Sikorsky was I mean, it's a brute of a thing, really, isn't it? It's huge.
It's huge. There were complaints by some people in the mountaineering business saying the downwash is extraordinary. If you went to the Ray Air display, you'd see just how much waves it disperses from its rotor blades while hovering. The 189 did the same thing in Ray a couple of weeks ago. We spoke about that. But its downwash is less because it's a less powerful helicopter and it doesn't need, you know, the brute force that the S-92, which is not a bad helicopter, by the way. And just in passing, I couldn't believe it last week. I saw the S-92. It's used by a man called the President of the United States, President Trump. He was climbing onto his brand new Marine One, which is an S-92. At long, long last, it's back into service. So the 1960s Sea King has been replaced by the new S-92.
And when does the S-92 date from?
It's about 20 years old. I was on the prototype, what was shown to the Air Corps in Baldonnell about 20 years ago. I went on various air shows. I think the Air Corps ordered three of them and then cancelled the order because they were getting out of the search and rescue business at that stage.
All right. It's a fascinating thing looking at helicopters because really, they really want to disintegrate, don't they?
Well, the joke in the Royal Air Force was that there were 50,000 parts flying in formation, which is a bit unusual and a bit crude like that. They are magnificent design features like that. When you see them in operation, you know, at close level, they're just fantastic pieces of engineering, I think.
As I say, they just want to burst apart. That's the instinct of any helicopter.
That's not true. It's not true.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. That's Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.